Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness. You've been so kind to us. And Lord, anytime we doubt that, we look back over our lives and look how far you've carried us. We look back sometimes in the middle of a Red Sea and see open dry land where there once was an ocean. Thus far you have carried us. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Morning, 10 o'clock. Amen. Are you all alive and kicking? Yes. Kick somebody next to you. Ask them, are you alive? Are you kicking? Thanks. Have a seat, everybody. Summer's here. Sheesh, we need rain. Should we pray for rain? Seriously, you know, how many of you guys know that people go mad in October in Joburg? Have you noticed that? People go crazy in October because it hasn't rained. It's hot. Raise your hand if you've got sinus right now. Yeah, pretty much the whole church. There we go. Also, you know the thing about October? It's the Thursday of the year. You know November's the Friday because you can see the weekend coming? Are you with me? But October, it's like, oh, it's still weak. Still got to go to work, right? So if you've gone a little crazy in October, if you find yourself just a little bit mental, it's okay. Join the rest of the church. We all are. Let's pray for rain. Father, we do honestly, earnestly, we seek your face and we pray for rain. For our nation, for the dry parts, for the agricultural areas, for the Eastern Cape, every farming area in our land, God, we pray. We don't do this as a matter of ritual. We do it as a matter of desperation. We do it as a matter of faith. We do it because we are people of faith. We do it because we believe that we can come before your throne of grace and you can give us the grace we need. We pray for the farmers that you would give them wisdom to navigate this season. Help them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Well, at approximately 3:20 a.m. on the morning of March the 13th, 1964, a lady called Kitty Genovese was returning home to her home, her apartment, in the area of Queens, New York City. She parked her car in a nearby parking lot and had to walk a mere 35 paces from her car to her apartment building. But as she was walking, literally en route, some guy came up to her and stabbed her. She shouted out in desperation. She said, oh my gosh, he stabbed me. And the windows and the lights went on in the apartment block around. The lights went on and the windows opened. And one guy shouted out. He said, hey, leave that young woman alone. And she got up, stabbed, and tried to walk a few paces and try and catch a bus. But the bus came past too quickly for her. The guy comes back. Stabs her again. As he stabs her again, she cries out. She says, I'm dying, somebody, I'm dying. The windows open and the lights go on again. Some guy shouts out the window and says, clear off. The guy shrugs his shoulders, walks away. She walks and staggers a few more paces and finds kind of like a sheltered area in the entrance to the apartment block and slumps down with her life ebbing away from her. And this guy comes back and attacks her a third time and kills her. Now, you read that story, I can hear from your reaction. You read that story and there's a mixture of shock and outrage, isn't there? How is it that somebody within 5 or 10 paces of another human being can leave them to die? How is it that windows can open and lights go on, but nobody helps? You get angry, hey? Well, Jesus told a story very similar to this one, actually, that also made people angry. It's also a story about people who pass by and don't choose kindness. Luke 10. Here we go, from verse 25. It'll be on the screens for you this morning. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He goes, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Well, what's written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "Those who had mercy on him," or the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, every listener to Jesus, as he's telling the story, would have been picturing this road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It was a steep road, 17 kilometers long, very narrow, very steep. And the thing about this road is it was lined with caves on either side. So it was the perfect trap for anybody who wanted to rob another person. It was so easy for you to simply hide in a cave and jump out and hijack the person as they were coming past. And because the road was so narrow, there was no room to maneuver, nowhere for people to go. Are you with me? And so it was the perfect place for a robbery. And everybody in that community at that time would have known about that road. So the minute Jesus starts saying, "Hey guys, I want to tell you a story about the road from Jerusalem to Jericho," everybody's going, "Oh, yeah, I know that road. Yeah, yeah, Kalulis Interchange, I know that." And Jesus tells the story masterfully. He introduces the characters. He says, right, so there's this guy, he's been beaten up, he's been robbed, he's been left for half dead. But the first guy, and the way Jesus words it is so brilliant, he says, he creates hope. He says, but a priest suddenly appears. Even the way he tells the story, the listener goes, oh, the priest's come. What a stroke of good fortune for the beat up guy. Because a priest has just suddenly arrived. And the hope gets dashed when Jesus says, yeah, but the priest steps to the other side of the road, turns a blind eye and walks away. And he goes, oh, maybe it was just a dodgy priest. And Jesus reintroduces hope. He goes, but the next guy was a Levite, somebody who was working in the temple. And so hope gets reignited. You think, oh, okay, well, the priest, you know, maybe it was just a dodgy priest. We know all about dodgy priests. Well, maybe the Levite, the worker, the guy in the temple, he's going to help. And the hopes get dashed on the rocks when again, he says, he steps across to the other side of the road, turns a blind eye and walks. I got thinking about that. I wondered to myself, what was it that caused them not to help? Why didn't they help? Then I got thinking as I identified all the different reasons. The text doesn't say, so we are left to surmise. I got thinking all the reasons why they didn't help would probably be the same reasons I wouldn't have helped. Busyness. Hey, listen, I'm on my way to a meeting at church, is what the priest and the Levite would have said. Hey guys, I'm on my way to Prayer Connect. I'm sorry, dude, I can't help you. I've got to pray. You with me? I'm on my way to a meeting. I've got to get to Stanton by 9 o'clock. You know what the traffic's like? Hey, listen, have you checked how many wagons are heading into Jericho at this time of day? I can't do it. Busyness, eh? Maybe it was fear. Listen, if I stop you, some oak's going to jump out of the cave and take me out now. I can't stop on the side of the road to help you at Galuli's Interchange. I've seen those things on Facebook. They're traps. People jump out and then they hijack you. Fear. It's legit. Prejudice? You're a muhu. Honestly, oak, why would you travel by yourself on that road? You know that road is dodgy. It's your own fault. You must be stupid. I can't fix stupid. I'm not going to help stupid. What? Maybe they thought, unclean. Listen, I've just got ready for my prayer meeting. I've just cleansed myself ceremonially like the Jews used to. I'm on my way to prayer connect now. If I stop and touch your blood, I'm going to get unclean. Can't do that. Maybe it was just lack of compassion, desensitized. Yeah, check another guy. He got taken out on the road. How many of you, those have you seen? It's just become the norm. It's just become the system. It's just become the usual state of affairs. It's pretty normal. No big deal. Another dude died. Maybe it was, somebody else is going to do it, I'm sure. In fact, when I was walking around that last bend, I looked behind me and I thought I saw a shadow of a guy behind me. I'm sure he's 20 paces behind me. He'll arrive on the scene. He'll be less busy and he won't have ceremonially cleansed himself. I'm sure he'll be able to help you, dude. Hang in there. Check you later. And the thing is, when I went through those reasons, I thought to myself, I can see me in the priest and the Levite. I think, though, the real reason, the core reason, the base reason, the essence of why they didn't help, I think was not primarily because they were busy or because they were prejudiced or because they were fearful or because they were apathetic. I think, guys, the main reason why they didn't help was because they lost sight of the core issue. The crux of the matter is somewhere along the line, the priest and the Levite forgot that this guy lying on the road was an image bearer of God. It's really easy to be unkind when we forget that the person in front of us is an image bearer of the invisible God that we can't see. They carry his image. You see, Genesis 1:27 tells us that God created male and female. In his image, he created them. I think maybe the real reason why we don't choose kindness at times is because we lose sight of the fact that, hey, this person actually bears the image of. When we see that person, we actually see God. We forget that. I forget that. And so, the priest and the Levite, both, they're just so prejudiced. They're just so busy. They have just forgotten the main thing. This person's a human being. Has breath put in their lungs by God, an image bearer of God. They forget that. I was reading a story about Mahatma Gandhi the other day. It's a fascinating story. You know, Mahatma Gandhi led the Indian resistance to British rule in India, and then, of course, played a big role within the Indian community here during the apartheid years, and even, in fact, earlier than that. Very clever man. And he was a lawyer, incredible man. I mean, he'll go down in history for really some quite incredible stuff. I did not know this about him, though, but he studied the Gospels. He actually read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in an effort to understand this Jesus that the British people were talking about. So he dives into the Gospels, he reads them, and he becomes fascinated with Jesus. He decides to himself, this Jesus, this Christianity, I think it's actually the answer to the caste system in India. The caste system in India is a terrible system. Depending upon your birth, where you get born, what family you get born into, you're either nobility, you're either like really important, or if you get born into the lowest rung of the ladder, you're no better than an animal. You're treated like not even a human being. And that system still exists today. So Gandhi goes and he thinks, this Jesus, the teachings of Jesus are so fascinating. They are so compelling. They are so interesting. They make so much sense to me. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. And I'm going to go and investigate Jesus, and I want to speak to the minister about this Jesus guy. So he does, and he goes to church, and he walks into the church, and as he does so, one of the ushers, not a nice usher like here, not an usher that goes, you need four, come this way. This usher, far from helping him to his seat, steps in front of him, folds his arms, and says to him, I think it would be better if you worshipped with your own people. The usher forgot that the man standing in front of him, though he looked different to him, was an image bearer of God. It's really easy to be unkind when we forget that the one that stands in front of us is an image bearer. So now, back to the story. The priest, no help. Levite, no help. Jesus' listeners, by now, they're listening to the story and they're going, this dude, there's no help for this guy. And that idea gets reinforced because Jesus next introduces the third character in the story, but he doesn't introduce it by saying, a man who was a Samaritan. Jesus shocks his audience by saying, a Samaritan arrives on the scene. And everybody goes, it's like gasp, shock, horror. The reason is because the Samaritans were so hated. The reason the Samaritans were hated was they were viewed by the Jews as half-breeds. In 700 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel, the leading citizens of the northern kingdom of Israel fell, got conquered by the Assyrians, and they got taken out of Israel into exile. What remained behind of Israel's citizenry, those people then had invading peoples, some invited, some uninvited, come into the borders of Israel and they began to intermarry and intermingle with the Israelites. But they were in other nations, they weren't Israelite nations. And so the new nation that resulted were called Samaritans because the capital city of that area was Samaria. Yeah. So Samaria is now a nation of, it's a rainbow nation, right? But the devout, the strict, the orthodox, the purebred Jews couldn't stand them. They used to fight over where to worship and how to worship. They had fights over the temple. The Samaritans stopped them trying to build the temple. There was retaliation. There had been drama for 600 years by the time this story gets told. And we think racism is new. Hey? It's been going on for yonks. So Jesus goes, his storytelling is masterful. He goes, a Samaritan. And they all go, they think, freak, this guy's definitely going to die. Because the Samaritan's going to come and stab him. He's going to take him out. It'd be like us walking through Hillbrow on a Friday night and go, yeah, let me just run the gauntlet. There you go, no, you're going to die, right? So they think the Samaritan is the bad guy. They think the Samaritan is the traitor. They think the Samaritan's going to be the one to deliver the death blow to this guy. Are you with me now? And Jesus twists the story and then he tells us, hey, guys, far from doing that, the Samaritan, in fact, helps him up, binds his wounds, put oil and all of that stuff on, puts bandages on, puts him over his donkey, takes him to the inn, prepays for him. I mean, it's like he took him to the Radisson Hotel and said, hey, have a couple of weeks just to chill. Sounds good, right? And Jesus devotes, this is so interesting, just as much words to the Samaritan's actions as he does to the priest and the Levites combined. Jesus tells us the Samaritan does six things. Well, guess what he does? He comes up to the man. So he doesn't walk across the road. In fact, he comes closer. He says, so he comes closer, he binds his wounds, he anoints him with oil, loads him on his mule, takes him to an inn, pays for him. Amazing. The Samaritan is far from the bad guy. The Samaritan ends up being the hero. The Samaritan ends up being the one who chooses kindness. Are you with me? You see, the only thing the injured man had to offer was his need. Yet the Samaritan, the most hated of all the nations, this guy chooses kindness. He chooses. The only thing the guy had to offer was his need. The Samaritan meets that need. So often, I don't know about you, but I think in kindness of kindness in terms of reciprocal terms. Hey, yo, I'll be kind to you if you can pay me back. I'll be kind to you if you could do X, Y, and Z. I'll be kind to you if there's going to be a return on my investment. Check. I'll invest in you, but there better be. Are you with me? All this guy had to offer, church, was his need. And the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. I got thinking about our Samaritan, got thinking about this man and how incredibly kind he was. The Samaritan realized that before him, lying before him, was a living, breathing human being. He realized this was a guy made in the image of God. The Samaritan remembered the one thing the priest and the Levite forgot, and that is that this man was in the image of God. And so I got thinking about this Samaritan. I got thinking, here he gets confronted with a living being. Like this plant. It's living. I'm so pleased, guys. It's still living from the first service. That's amazing. How many of you know that this plant over here, if it stays in this pot, it's going to be in trouble? It needs to move. Are you with me? If it's going to stay living, if we're going to be kind to the plant, we need to plant it. We need to show it some kindness. I got thinking about the Samaritan. He gets confronted with a living evidence of God. A man made in the image of God. He gets confronted with it, but he realizes, the Samaritan realizes, of all the three of them, he realizes kindness means you've got to get your hands dirty. Kindness reminds us that there's no such thing as a clean, sanitized, easy, convenient way to be kind. Kindness means we've got to dig deep. Kindness means we've got to get dirty. Kindness means we've got to put our hands into something. Kindness means when you see something and when you see a need, you can't stay sanitized. You can't stay indifferent. You can't stay clean. Kindness is not always clean. Kindness is messy. Kindness gets your hands dirty. Kindness digs into the dirt. Kindness gets stuck in. Kindness gets blood on your hands when you need it. Are you with me? And the Samaritan understood what it was to choose kindness. And he knew that it would mean his hands would get dirty. He knew it would cost him. And so he left, I think, with blood on his hands, empty pockets, but a full heart. I remember a couple of years ago, I was driving from the airport in Chicago. It was the first time I'd ever driven in Chicago. If you think Gallulis Interchange and the N3 is something to navigate, the highways around the Chicago airport are, I mean, they just look like flying saucers of interchanges, right? And the car, the steering wheel's on the wrong side. We all know that the Americans do that, right? It's the wrong side. They say it's the right side. Categorically, it's the wrong side. They drive on the wrong side. So here we are, Pastor Ken and I, we're busy driving, we're trying to get out of this airport interchange, and I take a moment and I think I cut across about three or four lanes. I don't know how many it was. But I just knew that I was in the wrong lane, needed to change. I cut across the lane like this. The next thing, I look in my rearview mirror and I see a car with blue and red lights that start on, and I hear a siren. There's a cop. I said to Pastor Kent, roll down your window, sweet talk him, schmooze him, do whatever you got to do. He looked like a big strapping lad. I thought, comes to the window. I said, I'm so sorry, officer. I'm sure I broke about 10 rules of the road. I'm not from around here. He goes, I can see that. He says, where are you trying to get to? I told him. He says, well, for starters, you're on the wrong highway. I said, oh. He says, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to put my sirens on and my lights, and I'm going to escort you. You follow close behind me. I'm going to drive in the yellow lane. You just follow behind me. I'll get you onto the right highway, and when it's your off-ramp, I'm going to indicate with my indicator. That's when you know, take that off-ramp, and you'll be on your way. And I thought, oh, so kind. I mean, you could have put me in jail, made my life difficult, given me a fine, you know, all of that stuff. But he chose kindness. I saw a picture doing the rounds the other day of a JMPD guy helping a lady change their tire on the side of the road. Did you see it? So cool. Now, you can go, yeah, but that's what cops are supposed to do. I thought about it. I'm going to put this out there. I think, listen, as we get older, we have the opportunity to either get grander. Do you know old people who are grander as they get older? Like a grand piano or like a grand mansion. You know, a beautiful home that just gets more beautiful as it gets older. You know, they've got poise and they've got dignity and they've got wisdom. And you want to talk to them because they've got so much wisdom to offer. Hey? They get grander as they get older. Or you can get grumpier. Yeah. Hunched over. Look like a troll that came out from under a bridge. Let's be people as we get older that we get grander. Not. So this guy was kind. Listen, he could have said, hey, I got no time. Getting punctures on the highway all the time. I've got no time. I'm on my way to my lunch break. I'm on my way to collect my Nando's. I'm on my way to a precinct meeting. I mean, he could have used any excuse, right? But there he is on his knees helping on the side of the highway. I think he chose kindness that day. Got thinking about some ideas that we can choose kindness. You know, what about taking our domestic helpers to the taxi rank? If we get home in the afternoon and they're still there, why don't we take them to the taxi rank instead of making them walk there after a long, hard day? If you've got the opportunity and you're able to, take them to the taxi rank. You know, you choose kindness like that. Choose kindness with the words you say. Choose kindness with the word that you give to somebody. Encourage them. You know, we can be kind with our words as well as our actions. Hey, encourage someone. Give them a word. Let them feel better after being with you. Let them feel like, oh, I've got encouraged. You chose kindness with your words. You can choose kindness by when there's a middle of a gossip conversation that starts, where you just stop it and turn it into something positive midway through. That way we're being kind to the person who's not there to have their name slandered. You know? Hey, we can choose kindness so many ways. We can choose kindness by not paying the minimum wage. I speak to people, they say, oh, you're the minimum wage. They view it as a target. It's not a target. It's a baseline. It's the minimum. Should never pay people minimum wage. Can I get some amens? Yeah, you know, we can choose kindness by donating our clothes. You know, maybe you've got some spare clothes in your cupboard. Maybe they don't fit you anymore. Maybe you got fat, or maybe you got thin. Maybe they're not in fashion anymore. Maybe you've got a pair of bell bottoms from the 1970s and you have been holding on. You've been thinking, yeah, those things are coming back. I'm here to tell you, the 70s is never coming back. It's never coming back. Can I get some amens? Because bell bottoms, God has banished it to the deepest abyss of hell. It'll never. Donate your, what I was saying, you're sidetracking me. You oaks are sidetracked. You can donate your clothes to the hospice shop. You know, instead of giving them, instead of selling them, take them. It'll cost you a couple hours to clean out your cupboard. Bring them in a big bag. You can even bring them to church. We'll donate them to the hospice shop. Guess what happens? The hospice shop takes them, sells them. God, thinking about this, my kindness can help somebody die with dignity. My spare clothes that I don't look at could give somebody a dying death with dignity. Hey, so many ways we can be kind, hey, to choose kind. We can visit a hospital, you know, down the road from the church, Tambo Memorial. You visit there, take some water, take some blankets. They always need those things. Just visit, pray with people. Ask how you can help them. It doesn't cost a lot. We can show kindness. You can show kindness by volunteering to tutor grade 10s, 11s in Shine's program, Project Impact. You could show kindness by volunteering to help a grade 2 with literacy. Imagine teaching a grade 2 to read or write. Change the whole trajectory of their school career. You could choose kindness by helping, you know, Cherished is a ministry where we show love and kindness to ladies who are wanting to come out of the sex trade. Once a month, there's a dinner for these ladies where we just love them and host them and give them dignity and show them love. Could volunteer for that. Choose kindness. So cool, hey? There's so many ways that you can show kindness. You could let a person merge into the lane in front of you without flicking them off to death. Can you imagine a world where everybody merges? Not in Joburg, right? There's so many ways we can choose kindness. We're going to be starting to sell these in the next few weeks. They're called NutriGo. These are amazing little nutrition packs. They're divided into two. The bottom half has got liquid in it. The pack is designed so that you simply squeeze the liquid and it moves up into the top half and then creates like a cereal, like a porridge stuff. But the thing about this is not just any cereal. It's got all the nutrients anybody would need. If they only could get one meal a day, this would be the meal that it would get. It literally saves somebody from starvation. These are probably going to be, we haven't finalized the pricing yet, we're waiting for the supplies, probably R6 or R7 each. Last week I was preaching at Bridge Church, Pastor Ken was with me in the afternoon, and they were selling them there. You can grab these things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get hold of them, in fact we've got a whole whack load already, and I'm going to store them in my car, so that when I get to a robot and there's a beggar, I don't feel this guilt, I don't feel this helplessness. I'm going to say to the guy, I've got no money, but I've got food for you, yeah. And I'm going, you know? When there's a car guard guarding my car, and then if you're like me, and you're like, oh, I don't have change. I want to weep because I've never got change in my wallet. Hey, anybody else like that? And then I spend my life going, sorry, dude, I don't know. Oh, sorry. Anybody else? And like I do the walker show, I'm so sorry, I got no change. Anybody else do that? Now I'm going to walk, I'm going to come, Brew, come with me to the car, and I'm going to give this to explain how it works. I'm going to say, do you want strawberry, chocolate, or what's the other one? Banana. There we go. And I'm not going to feel like a muhu, and he's going to eat for the day. How amazing is that? Can choose kindness. Choose kindness, eh? I'll leave a legacy. You know the cafe, leave a legacy? You know when the hospitality team ask you, would you like to leave a legacy? Yes?
Yes.
Don't wait for them, hey? Don't wait. Don't be like that guy at KFC where they say, would you like to add hope? Don't wait. Just say, I'd like to leave a legacy. Maybe the person on tour duty has a bad day that day and they forget to ask you. Say, I'd like to leave a legacy. Guess what? We're already 20% of the way towards a water well in Zambia. Some community is going to get water forever because of us. How cool is that? That is so much of kindness. Hey? I'm encouraged. Our church is so kind. You guys are amazing. You work so hard. You're so kind with your and generous with your finances. I love this quote, Christianity is not what I can do for Jesus, but in how I relate to him and to my neighbor. It's not what I can do for Jesus. We cannot be too busy for Jesus. We've got no time for anybody. Then you're a professional Christian. Can I get some amens in this Seventh-day Adventist church here? Micah 6:8. He's told you what's good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love Oh, you should have seen Edenvale. Edenvale were on their chairs by the stage. To do justice, to love, and to walk humbly with your God. I saw an incredible clip the other day. It moved me to tears when I watched it because I wasn't expecting the twist in the tale. It's by this rabbi. Have a look at it and I'll see you on the other side.
A young man went over to another Jew at a wedding. He said, "You remember me?" He said, "I don't remember you. Who are you?" He introduces himself. He says, "Ah, you were my student. Third grade, you were my student. Yeah? Wow, I haven't seen you in so many years. How is your life? What are you involved in?" He says, "I'm a teacher." He says, "Wow, just like me. What inspired you to become a teacher?" "What inspired me to become a teacher was you." He said, "How did I inspire you to become a teacher? I saw what an impact you had on me. I realized what an impact I can have on children. I decided to go into education." He said, "What type of impact did I have on you?" So he said, "I'll remind you, but I'm sure you remember the story. There was one day that one of my friends got himself, his mother, father bought him a beautiful wristwatch, and I dreamt for a watch, and I didn't afford one. So I decided to steal his watch. He had it in his pocket. I took his watch, I stole it. He came into class, he saw somebody stole his watch. He came complaining to the teacher, somebody stole his watch. So you made an announcement, whoever took this boy's watch, please return it. I was too embarrassed and I didn't want to return it, so I didn't return it. So you locked the door and you said, I'm going to have to line everybody up and empty their pockets in order to get back the watch. And that's what you did. And I thought to myself, this is going to be the most shameful moment of my life. And then you said, all boys line up at the wall, but I want everybody to have their eyes closed. Everybody's eyes must be closed. And you went from pocket to pocket, and everybody's eyes were closed. And then you came to my pocket, and you found the watch, and you took it out, and you went through everybody's pockets with everybody's eyes closed. And then you said, okay, everybody can open their eyes. You gave the watch back to its owner. And you never, ever said a word to me throughout the entire year. You never mentioned the story. You never mentioned the episode. And when I thought to myself how you saved my dignity that day, instead of being stereotyped as a ganev, as a thief, as a chakran, as a liar, as a no-goodnik, as a despicable child, you really saved my soul. You saved my dignity. And you never mentioned a word, not only to anybody else, not only to the owner, but even to me. It happened, it's over. I understood the message. And when I looked at that, I saw it. I said, wow, this is what a teacher is. This is what a real educator is. This is what I want to do with my life. And therefore, I went into education. The teacher is listening to him and he says, wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. But he says, but Rebbe, you don't remember the story? Like when you see me and you hear my name, I'm sure you remember the story that I stole the watch and what you did and you didn't want to embarrass me. So everybody's eyes closed. And I'm the person. He says, actually, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know the story. He says, why not? Like, it's a pretty dramatic story. He says, because I also closed my eyes. So I want to bless you and bless all of us. That we should be able to be such leaders, such teachers, such parents, such educators, such mashpiyim, to be able to be there for people in this way.
Beautiful story, hey? That we would be people like that. The reason we can be people like that, the reason we are people like that, is because God was kind to us. Because Jesus was kind to us, guys. I don't know if you realize this, but the Good Samaritan in the story, he's actually a foreshadow. He's like a prophecy. He's a pre-picture of Jesus. That when he saw us half dead, dying in our sin, he did not get religious on us and step over to the other side. And go, I'll walk away. Instead, he leans down, comes close, Bible says he binds up our wounds. Isn't that what the Samaritan did? Put us on a donkey, prepaid our debt. The reason we can be people who choose kindness, the reason we can be people who pay our domestics well and take them to the taxi rank, the reason we can be people who let somebody merge into a lane in front of us, the reason we can be people who feed people at opportunities, the reason we can be people who come together to build water wells, the reason we can be people who show kindness at every turn, who use kind words, who stop gossip in its tracks, the reason we can be people like that is because he was kind to us. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8 that while we were, he proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. Why can Christians be the kindest people in the world? Because God was kind to us. Because Jesus was kind to us. And right where you were and where I was, he reaches down and he rescues us. Doesn't get religious on us, doesn't leave us in our place, doesn't let us die. He got his hands dirty with our sin and rescued us. Isn't that an amazing thought? Don't we serve an incredible Lord? Shall we pray together? Come. God, thank you, Father, for your kindness. We remind ourselves of your word. It says that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. This morning, if you are ready to follow Jesus and say yes to him, I'm going to pray. After the prayer, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, to slip up your hand. Every head is bowed and eye closed. I'm going to see you. I'm going to say thank you. And I'm going to give you some next steps after you've done that. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to identify you. I'm simply going to say thank you. I'm going to pray. If this is your prayer, you can follow with me in your heart. And at the end, I'll ask you to tell me if that was the prayer in your life for the first time. Jesus, thank you that you were the good Samaritan to us. Thank you that you walked along a dangerous road. Didn't go religious on us. But you saw us in our need. You leaned down, picked us up, bound our wounds, prepaid our debt, so that we could come into a friendship with the Father who loved us and made us. This morning we want to say thank you for that. We want to repent, turn away from a life that is not leading us anywhere. And we want to ask you to come into our hearts and into our lives. Would you make us new? Holy Spirit, would you come in and work within our hearts and lives? And would you help us to walk in the future that you have for us? If that prayer was on your heart, and it's the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like that, just a moment, I'm going to count to three. Just get to three. I could have picked any number, but I just picked three because it's the time when everybody knows this is the moment to respond. And all across this place, people will be responding and you can join them. This will be your moment to do so. So if you prayed that prayer for yourself the first time, if you joined me in that prayer for the first time this morning, here we go, on the count of three. Ready to respond? Here we go. One, two, three. Hands up all across this place this morning. Yes, God bless you. God bless you up in the balcony. Thank you. Can see you. That's awesome. Come, keep responding this morning if you want to. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. That's awesome. God bless you over there, young man. That's awesome. Come, keep responding. Yes, I can see you in the balcony. Thank you, ma'am, up in the balcony. Come, you can keep responding if you want to. This is such a beautiful moment. This is your time. Yes, thank you, sir, up in the balcony as well. That's awesome. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You guys are great. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. God, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, you know that the Bible says that the only thing that stops God's worship in heaven is when one person comes to Christ. This morning in the service, there were several. So I don't think we should give a polite Wimbledon clap. Like we're not in England at lawn tennis, right? We are in Boksburg. Furthermore, we have people from Brakpan in the service. So come on, would you give it up for all those who... That's awesome.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.